Stress, it's pretty ambiguous. It can be like a buzzword of sort. It's about really understanding your body and how it's responding to what's up here and what's out here. So often people are like, my life's good. I mean, I'm not really inconvenienced. I like my job and I like my spouse and my kids. But like all day, every day, they're ruminating on these thoughts that are not serving them. Maybe it's they're dealing with feeling unworthy, or maybe they're worrying about the future, or carrying resentment from the past. But what's happening here is creating in the body this picture of stress.
Hello, and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I am so excited you're here. I am your co-host, Thais Gibson, along with our new special host, Mike Dizio. This is a podcast that discusses everything related to integrated attachment theory, the new attachment theory, along with the subconscious mind, relationships, communication, needs, boundaries, and so much more. Throughout this podcast, you'll see a series of episodes I upload with new information, educational tips all about how to thrive in relationships and really master your emotional state in your life, along with special guests hosted by Mike Dizio to discuss all of these amazing topics in some longer form content. Thank you so much for being here, and I really hope you enjoy this episode.
My guest today is an integrative health practitioner and stress expert specializing in nervous system regulation and adrenal health. She's the CEO of Well and Free and the founder of Stressed Mom Protocol, where she helps busy moms optimize health and upgrade well-being. This best-selling author and speaker is a fellow with the American Institute of Stress and a Stress Master International Associate with over 15 years of experience in health and wellness industry. She's been featured on Fox News, ABC News, US News, and World Report, Drug Topics, Forbes, and dozens of podcasts. Personal development podcast viewers and listeners, this is Dr. Jen Bourgeois. Hello, Jen. How are you doing today?
Hello, I'm doing wonderful. Thanks so much for having me here.
For sure. I was excited to have you on because you're a medical doctor. You have such a wealth of knowledge. So I have a lot of questions here today that I know I'm going to get a lot of value from. So I know our audience is really going to love it too. So thank you again for being here.
Absolutely.
So just to start off, can you just let us know like who you are, what you do, and maybe a bit of your backstory?
Yes, I'd love to jump into that. So I am a traditionally trained pharmacist. I have bachelor's in nutrition, doctorate of pharmacy, and I started serving in the traditional healthcare model, like you said, about 15 years ago. Loved it. My heart for serving is really the people. I knew from an early age that I wanted to make a difference in the lives of people through health. And I was that kind of new energy, new grad, newly licensed professional, just really ready to change the world. And what I noticed is immediately there were gaps in healthcare. There were gaps in the traditional model. Once my patients entered that sick care model, it just didn't seem like they were exiting. I began to really notice, is there true healing? What's happening? Why aren't they being supported outside of just pharmaceuticals? Of course, with my bachelor's in nutrition, I was really, really passionate about using food as medicine and the healing abilities there. So just awareness in the beginning of, hey, there's things here that I feel like I can make a difference outside of that traditional role. So outside of just serving, in this capacity as a pharmacist. And so integrative health, functional medicine, and then that stressed mastery certification that I've pursued, all of this has been very specific to fill the gap. I stand with my clients in the gap. That's part of, I feel like, my role here. And why I'm here is just to really support, what maybe they're already doing and in some of the goals that they have that they feel like in that traditional model, they're just not getting specifically what they need to advance forward and really begin to heal. So that's a little bit of my story on how I got here. I currently do serve in the virtual space, supporting clients, integrative health. I've really niched down into nervous system regulation work, supporting adrenal health, but I do help specifically women, you know, really with all health goals, whether that be mineral balancing, hormone balancing, et cetera.
Wow, that's so wonderful. So many good things there. And, you know, I love how you saw the need for something. And, you know, a lot of people will just continue to do what they're doing. They're making a good paycheck. They're, you know, have a good living. But you're like, no, like, I see a need here and I'm going to deliver it because it's my sort of moral duty, or I want to do this for people, which is really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
So I know a lot of people who kind of get into these types of things maybe had their own healing journey. Was there anything on your end, like a catalyst or something that happened in your life that pushed you towards sort of getting into medicine or healing or this type of area?
Exactly that. I was a busy professional. I'm a high achiever, very driven. I don't do things halfway, you know, and so even in the professional setting, I wanted to do a great job. So I worked hard. I came early. I stayed late. I had children. So I became a mom, supporting a marriage. So, you know, the relationship with the spouse. So there was a lot of hats I was wearing, and I became ill. I didn't really know what was happening, chronic fatigue and really extreme fatigue, and went to my doctor, traditional provider, who had very few answers for me because my blood work was normal. You look great. Probably just, you know, tired, your mom. And so I had to continue to advocate for myself. And that's one thing I hope that our listeners will take away from my story is if you feel off, if you feel that kind of unsettlement of sort within, that something's wrong, just continue to advocate for yourself. Because you know, that's my story. I went back 3 times and I kept saying, I'm not okay. He wanted me to take this antidepressant and get back on birth control. And all I said, no, no, no. I want to know what's wrong. You know, that's no longer okay with me. And so, finally diagnosed with Epstein-Barr, which is just a viral infection. And I think knowing what I know now and being on this side of the journey now, of course, it was very much rooted in stress. My lifestyle, my busyness, not taking time to sleep. Sleep was optional for me. Sleep was optional. It was one thing that if my day ran long, if my to-do list was at the point, you know, where there were still 4 things I needed to check off, then I would just delay sleep or wake up early. You know, so sleep was optional. And that was detrimental to my health. I did not regulate stress. I did not have tools to regulate stress. My nervous system was a total mess from childhood trauma that was unresolved. And so it was just a really kind of perfect storm, if you will, to allow this virus to take over my body. So
there's so many things I love about that. But one thing I'm really happy you mentioned is on your side of the fence to say, don't stop like talking about, hey, there's something wrong here. I know something's off. Because I know for myself and probably a lot of other people, if they go like 1, 2, 3 times, they feel like maybe if they're not getting what they need, they're being a nuisance, or maybe it's in their head and they're, you know, maybe there is nothing wrong with them, but you know your body the best. And if you're feeling that and you know that something is off, you're saying just keep trying different things, maybe keep seeing different people, like don't give up sort of on figuring out what's going on for you. I love that.
You know, I think that's a beautiful part about the virtual community, the virtual space that we're in is no longer people feel, you know, they're not so boxed into what's available to them in proximity. Me growing up in a really small town, proximity wise, I didn't have a lot of access. And I think that's the exciting thing now with healthcare is you have access to so many resources and healers and providers who really can help support where you are. So,
And yeah, I'm thinking of my grandparents or probably my parents. It's like you went to your doctor, what that person said was Bible and you didn't question it, and that was that. But now we have like so many things. Do we almost have too many things to choose from now, or always more is better because we can go with what resonates best with us?
Yes.
Yeah. And then you mentioned sleep. We'll talk about sleep later, but I know a lot of people are like, oh, you'll sleep when you're dead, or you know, sleep is for lazy people or whatever. That couldn't be further from the truth, but we'll get into that a little bit later for sure. So in your one-on-one practice, what do you see as like the most common issue, or what common issues come up over and over and over? And why do you think they're so prevalent in sort of today's world?
I would say I work mostly with women, and it is 100% stress. I think that, you know, stress, it's pretty ambiguous. It can be like a buzzword of sort. You think some people even get a little offended. They're like, I'm not stressed. And it's about really understanding your body and how it's responding to what's up here and what's out here.
Right.
And it, you know, so often people are like, my life's good. I mean, I'm not really inconvenienced. I like my job and I like my spouse and my kids or what, you know, but like all day, every day, they're ruminating on these thoughts that are not serving them. You know, maybe it's they're dealing with feeling unworthy, or maybe they're worrying about the future, or, you know, carrying resentment from the past. But, you know, what's happening here is creating in the body this picture of stress. And I think for my clients, specifically women, it is a lot of that underlying stress that's creating nervous system changes. Therefore, it's impacting adrenal health and thyroid health and liver health. And that's really where you start seeing those symptoms. So, you know, symptoms, it's just your body's way of communicating.
Right.
That's how your body talks to you. It's giving you a signal or a sign to say, hey, pay attention. Something's wrong over here. There's an imbalance. There's a dysfunction. And it's really those first triggers are, you know, think about your, I don't know why, but I use the analogy of a car with health, but, you know, just think about dashboard of sort in your car. When you're low on fuel, your fuel light comes on, and when your tire gets low, your tire light. And so it's the same thing. The lights are equivalent to symptoms. And so, you know, your body really just wants to say, pay attention. And so when you start seeing those things change, for me, insomnia, fatigue, right? Headaches, it was just my body's way of trying to get my attention to say, hey, something's not working.
Yes.
Down, pay attention. And I think we can really start to, if at that point you can become aware and bring some intention to the body, intention to the process of saying, hey, I don't think everything's okay. Usually you can really start to uncover some of those initial imbalances and dysfunctions before they become disease.
And I love what you're saying, pay attention to the body, whereas that can be quite logical and in my head a lot of the times. So yeah, it would be easy to say, I don't know why this would be happening. I love my job. I have a relationship. I have a home to live in. And you can almost like guilt yourself into being, you know, people have it so much worse. And, you know, at least I have this, at least I have that. But hey, the fact is your body's alarms are going off and they're saying something is off here. I don't care what story you want to tell yourself, but we're letting you know there's something going on here, and you can either attend to it or it's just going to keep persisting. And like you said, it's if you don't look at it, it will turn into something a lot worse than it needs to be.
You know, in this day and age, we're so busy. We're so dissociated from present because of lifestyle, because of all the pieces of life that are vying for our attention. You know, we're not present here. And so I think part of the problem is that we're not in tune with our body. We're missing alignment. We no longer live in the body. You know, we don't even really feel change in our body because there's just so much disconnection. I think that's an important part too, just to share with the viewers here today or the listeners is, you know, hey, slow down, check in on yourself. I tell my clients, how are you really? Just sit down 1 second to yourself. How am I today? How am I feeling? Like, let your body feel for just a minute, you know, really come back here and engage those senses, look around, smell, touch something with texture, you know, just really be in here in the present moment, because that will create some safety in your body and really allow you to kind of come off the spaceship that is, you know, where you kind of dissociate and you get on your spaceship and you're in la la land doing life. It's like, nope, come here and get back in the body. And so I think that's important too, is like that piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, definitely. That's great advice. and probably put your phone down once in a while, right? We're probably looking at our devices way too often. And again, doing that, we're ignoring ourselves and putting all our energy and attention outside of us, right?
Yes.
So no, that's wonderful advice. Thank you. So Dr. Jen, you created the Stressed Mom Guide, where you share the top 5 ways to reduce stress in less than 15 minutes per day. We'll put a link to that in the show notes, but I was wondering if you can give our audience a sneak preview of a few ways you can reduce stress in less than 15 minutes per day.
Yeah, I think that's so important, is that we don't really need more to do. We have enough to do. And I think that's one way that many people get overwhelmed with the health journey. They recognize, you know, I don't feel great. I've got room to improve in my diet and I need to exercise more, but they get overwhelmed with this more to do. I need to track my macros. And so I tried to keep the guide really simple. That was my heart, was like, hey, let me help you, give you some tips and tricks, if you will, that you can incorporate alongside the day that you're already walking through. So one of the things that I'll sneak to, you know, to right now is humming. Humming is just a really great way that you can activate the vagus nerve, so the part of the nervous system that really helps kind of relax you and maybe kind of bring back that check and balance, if you will. You can just hum while you're brushing, or not brushing teeth. You can hum while you're getting ready. Mm-hmm. You can hum while you shower. You can hum while you're cooking breakfast or while you're driving. It's simple. It's something we can incorporate alongside life. And so that's really what you'll find in that guide, is just really practical, simple tips that you can incorporate to help with stress reduction. When I talk about stress reduction, yes, there are some practical things in there too, you know, like lifestyle wise, but it's really about nervous system, because that is the operating part of the body that really helps guide that stress response.
Wow, that's so brilliant. Just the fact that you're doing it alongside, because when we're hearing all these things we need to be doing, we're like, oh, I need to be meditating 30 minutes a day. But a lot of people are like, I don't want to stop everything and for 30 minutes have to meditate. Like, it's just, it's too much. So your tips are doing it alongside. Like, you're going to be walking to work anyway. You're going to be in the car anyway. What's simple humming, you know, that's not going to take away from your day. In fact, it's going to add to it. So I love that. Does it have to be loud? Let's say you're walking, doing your daily walk to work, and there's people around. You don't have to do this loud hum. It's just like
it's just the vibration, you know?
Right.
So when you hum, you're just kind of vibrating.
Yeah.
And that's gargling. You could gargle water. It's kind of the same of sort. But I find that when you gargle water, you have to stop. That's a process, right? You can't really do that alongside. So humming has the same effect, but you don't have to
anywhere.
Quiet, loud.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I found that it's helpful if it's a song that brings you joy.
Yeah.
So maybe a song that means something to you, or one of your favorite songs, you know, that typically kind of brightens people. They're like, oh yeah, it makes the vibe a little bit. Or you start seeing them kind of move, and that's always like a positive thing too.
Oh, I love that. I can feel it already. Awesome. So you recently offered the Creating Calm in Motherhood Masterclass, which is for busy moms to release overwhelm and burnout and reconnect to more self-love, presence, worthiness. This sounds like it was such a beneficial class. And I was wondering if you can touch on how it went. I know it was very recently. And will you be offering this again in the future?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to bring it back. It's just so necessary as a fellow mom, working mom, who I've been on this journey of growth and personal development for probably 7-8 years. And so I see firsthand personally, and then now, you know, on the practitioner side of it, the need for women to be supported in this area. There's so much negative self-talk, you know, the limiting beliefs of sort, the operating from that fear mentality. And I think that it's a place that many people in the business journey, entrepreneurship, or maybe, you know, you've got this drive of sort to achieve in your profession, they're really honed in on personal development. I think that, you know, that we do a great job connecting those two. But I support a lot of moms, and I think that it's not as accessible for them. You know, they don't right. really connect the dots that like you would need personal growth and personal development, you know, no matter your role, no matter if you're a top exec or if you yeah. are a mom that's nurturing, you know, these sweet kids at home. And so I think that's been a really cool piece is to kind of pay that forward a little bit and mm-hmm. that to this group of people in my community that, you know, it can benefit you no matter where you are, just really grounding back to self and connecting back to the true essence of who you are, the soul, you know, the soul being, the part of you that, you know, that spiritual side and really helping connect that back. So yeah, it went great. As a mom, we need way more calm in the chaos of motherhood. So
yeah,
it resonated really well.
I know obviously nothing about motherhood, but I imagine a lot of moms are at home and they're sort of alone and feel a little isolated and just don't know, you know, what to do. And, you know, the fact that you offer something like this sounds super beneficial to moms, and they don't have to be alone and they can gain support from people, probably every other mom going through the same thing, which is wonderful. So I'm really happy you offer that.
I just wanted to jump in here and let you know that we are doing a 14-day free trial, which means you get access to the Personal Development School and everything we have going on the other side for free for 14 days. That means you get access to the 4 live webinars I do every single week. You can come in, you can ask me questions with your camera on, we can chat. You can leave your camera off if you prefer, or type your questions in the chat. There's lots of opportunity to get your questions answered. And on top of that, you get access to all of our different courses. We have over 55 different courses on relationships, communication, boundaries, emotional mastery, guilt and shame, learning your needs, so many different facets that are really important to master our lives and feel really good about our lives going forward. And last but not least, there's also community elements in there. So there's a daily community event, whether it's practicing communication or doing a guided morning routine or a guided reprogramming exercise. We have trained facilitators and coaches who are in there doing that work, showing up to support you on your journey every single day. So I would love to see you on the other side. There's lots of exciting stuff in there. And we have had a 99.7% NPS score, which means we have literally that many people who report being really successful at PDS and wanting to recommend this to others. And it was all done anonymously. So I felt really honored that everybody shared that. So thank you to those of you who did. But yeah, please join me on the other side. Come check it out. See if it's a fit for you. I'd love to see you there.
So another area that I'm really interested in my own life, and I'm happy to ask you about, is minerals and supplements and the importance of them. So I was wondering if you could share like why supplements and minerals are so important beyond just our everyday food. Sometimes we think, oh, we're eating healthy, so we're good. But what supplements and minerals should people look into taking beyond just their food and diet every day?
Great question. So the purpose of a supplement is just that. It's to fill the gap of your diet. Mm-hmm. And so ideally, we would eat a diet that is nutrient dense, you know, rich in this variety of vitamins and minerals. So, you know, from your B's to your fat soluble, all of your minerals, great macro split. And the truth of the matter is, one, the American diet is really bad at this. You know, processed foods, fast foods, just it does not lend itself well to us meeting our goals for our nutrients.
Right.
And food has changed, you know, with the changes in soil and all of the pesticides, herbicides, all the ways that, you know, mass production of crops and sort, the produce that once, you know, gave us 100% of our vitamin C, you know, we're not seeing the same. So unfortunately, there are gaps and we do need to supplement that. And so now that's what you'll find in the form of, you know, pills, capsules, liquids, but it's just a way for you to meet your nutrient goals. And so there are some really standard goals that we all have in regards to certain vitamins and minerals. But what I have found to be really helpful in my work is to do some lab assessments to see where people are in regards to these goals, right, and help specific support for them. Because it's hard for me to generally recommend supplements because our bodies are bio-individual.
Sure.
Yours is different than mine, is different than every single other person in this world. And so really understanding your body, seeing where you are, will help guide, you know, more specific supplementation. But mainly it's to fill the gap. So if you know you don't like fish, you never eat fish, probably need to take an omega. You know, mm-hmm. if you're 20 years plus, you probably need to get on an omega if you're not eating fish. So those things are kind of simple. Right. You know, if you have an MTHFR genetic mutation, you have to supplement with methylated B vitamins. Your body can't do that. So some of those things, you know, we know you burn through magnesium when you're stressed out. So if you're going through a really stressful time in your life, if you have a job that's really demanding, it's probably a good idea for you to supplement with some magnesium to avoid yeah. that deficiency. So I think those are a few general guidelines we can kind of pay forward in that. Minerals, I'm really passionate about that specific part because they are the spark plug. So they are the piece of this kind of physiological equation that allows for the detoxification. It, you know, creates that enzymatic reaction. It allows certain hormones to enter into the cell. It helps with glucose transport. And we see, you know, major mineral deficiencies in America, unfortunately, with diet. And most of our water is not mineralized. So if you use filtered water, bottled water, so much of that is just stripped, you know, all the way out. They take all the good with the bad. And so we kind of see that be a struggle just for baseline, you know, mineral needs. So a lot of times if you're not drinking mineral water, it's a good idea. Maybe you need to add some minerals back into the water.
Right.
But that's just a really passionate part of my work because yeah. I see foundationally at a cellular level. So this being that we see here, you and I, trillions and trillions of cells make us up. Mm-hmm. And so foundation of who we are at that cellular level, you know, if minerals are not balanced, it absolutely affects all processes that are trying to happen. So it's just a great foundational tool for me to use to help support clients.
That's super informative. And would someone just go to like their GP and request a blood profile test, or is this somewhere you got to go to like a naturopath? Or there's probably 100 different ways, but I'm not totally sure. What would you recommend?
100 different ways. My best way to do it is the hair tissue mineral analysis. So hair is actually a tissue and it's really easy to sample. You just cut it versus in a big chunk out of your skin or going in for a biopsy on your liver. That's obviously a tissue sample too. But what we're trying to understand is we can use the tissue to see mineral status at a cellular level. So blood work. So if you go in and have a blood draw and assess minerals, that's one way. And we do use that as a standard of care for different diagnoses of sort in the traditional community. But remember, blood is meant to be homeostatic. So blood's job is to transport and carry all these different minerals and nutrients to the cell.
Right.
So I like the HTMA. You can find practitioners. I offer the assessment. Many, many other integrative and functional practitioners offer that as an assessment tool to understand minerals. And I personally, that's the one I like to use. But yes, you can use blood work, GP, to look at minerals too.
I love that. That's great. I don't love needles, so I didn't even know about the hair sample. So I'm going that way next time for sure. So you talk about adrenals and cortisol. I was just wondering, for anyone who might know, what is adrenal fatigue and why does it happen and how can we correct it?
One of my favorite topics. So thanks for asking this. Adrenal health is so important. And I think it's a big piece of the puzzle to many women's health symptoms. Mm-hmm. So we have our HPA axis. So it's that system that, you know, kind of connects several different organs, one of being the adrenals. And it's kind of this system that helps modulate stress, helps release certain hormones to make sure that we have kind of adequate hormone circulation. And again, a lot of it has to do with stress. So we see what we call, or what we would diagnose, HPA axis dysfunction. And that's really the new PC term to use versus adrenal fatigue. Mm. Really similar type of picture as far as a clinical picture, though, you know, where the patient is typically going to have signs of fatigue, maybe some weight gain, just really struggling with life of sorts, some type of stressor. Could be environmental, it could be thoughts, mental type emotional stress, could be an infection. So remember, infection create stress in the body, inflammation creates stress in the body. So some type of prolonged stress has really caused this adrenal to have to work overtime. Mm-hmm. So the adrenal is going to be activated to say, hey, something's going on. There's some stress of sorts. This is just one way it's activated. But when you have some stress, kind of knocks on the adrenal and says, hey, I need you to release some cortisol. And then this cortisol secondarily makes all these different effects happen in the body. Your heart speeds up, your breath rate increases, digestive function decreases, because the body thinks there's a stressor of sort. We need to kind of react. And so when you constantly kind of knock on the door, hey, adrenal, I need you, I need you, I need you. It's just like me as a mom, you know, the more times my kids come in here, mom, 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 I'm like, oh, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. Yeah. How many more, you know, or maybe your boss at work, you know, where it's like, Jen, do this, do this, do this. And at the end of the day, you're like, oh my gosh, you've asked me to do 20 million things today. I'm exhausted. It's really the same concept. You know, the more that we push and require and ask of our adrenal, it gets tired. And so this adrenal fatigue picture, it's just over time. It's just this consistent chronic stimulation. Cortisol, and now it's tired. Sometimes you can even see that the patient's cortisol production will be diminished. And so that creates problems with sleep and, again, weight regulation, energy regulation, can secondarily impact the thyroid and the liver. So all of those systems are very interconnected, but really it just comes down to helping people understand where they are, how these symptoms are correlating. Maybe we're looking at cortisol markers. I use that through a couple of different assessment tools to just see, okay, what is your cortisol level? Where are we? We can assess adrenal function through a test too, and really look at how is the adrenal responding throughout the day. So we get markers throughout the day to kind of see, you know, is it on that tired side? Is it more fatigued, or is it overactive? Mm-hmm. You know, is in this more heightened fight or flight where really it's acute stress. You're being pump. And so it's pushing out a ton of cortisol. Mm-hmm. And that high cortisol creates problems with blood sugar regulation. So typically you'll see some correlations there with the client, you know, high cortisol issues with glucose regulation.
So obviously it's very important, and it sets off like a snowball effect if you don't take care of it. So is this a big problem with people who actually have a very stressful life, or is it also, and can't be, of people who have the perception of stress and are always worried about things that aren't even really happening, like worst case scenario, or, oh, what if I get laid off one day? What if I don't have enough money for rent? So can it be also people who actually their life is not that stressful, but their mind kind of tricks this system into there's an emergency outside of us all the time? Does that make sense?
It 100% does. And you are onto something. It is exactly the same. So our body cannot differentiate between what is really, really happening in front of us and what is happening here.
Right.
The way we're wired, and literally it's just that it is physiological wiring. our body can't differentiate. So those ruminating thoughts on past and future, you know, whether it be like resentment and kind of judgment and or fear, right? What's going to happen? Worry, like you mentioned, anxiousness. Mm-hmm. The body does not know differently at a physiological level. So if you're ruminating, if you're worried, if you're anxious, your body's perceiving that as stress, as that, oh my gosh, you know, they're going to lose the job. They lost the job. You know, what's happening? And so all of those physiological changes are happening. Nervous system is beginning to activate. It's telling the adrenal, oh, we need some cortisol because there's a problem here. Mm-hmm. Digestion is going to start slowing down. You're going to get probably some secondary release of glucose. And so you can see just from this conversation we're having right now, how easily what's here and even just like stress in your environment, how it's connected, directly connected to physical health. Just listening about months of this kind of pattern of sort every single day. Mm-hmm. Wow. If your digestion processes are being shut down or at least minimized every day, you're probably having trouble with bowel regulation. You're not absorbing your nutrients appropriately. Over time, this can create problems with candida. Oh, now you've got maybe like your pH in your stomach isn't balanced. And then now you're starting to have symptoms associated with all those things. So you can just see how one little piece of this whole big physical picture we're kind of presenting here, just that one little piece can become dysregulated.
Yeah. So we definitely got to, you know, pay attention to our thoughts and not go down the rabbit hole of, you know, because like you said, your body thinks it's happening right now. And the more you feed it that those thoughts, the more it's just going to continue to perpetuate that adrenal to pump over time. And then eventually all these other health problems happen. So yeah, super important stuff there for sure. So we touched on earlier about how important sleep is, you know, if you want to show up as the best version of yourself in your daily life. Do you have any tips for better sleep so people can feel more refreshed and energized?
Make it a non-negotiable. It is optional for so many of us. Like you mentioned, you know, sleep when you're dead and sleep is the lazy. And I think one is just giving yourself permission to kind of flip the script on that. Like it's not optional. It is 100% necessary if you want physical health. It is that time of the day where your body resets, where you detox, you clean out the debris, the toxins, you repair any damage that has happened. It is essential. It's essential for health. And so I think that's the one thing, you know, to start the conversation is prioritize it, make it a non-negotiable, schedule it in. I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock. So be it. The to-do list may not be complete. So be it. Sleep is that important. And as a you know, practitioner, I can't stress it enough. And so if you have struggles with sleep, maybe you can't fall asleep, maybe you can't stay asleep, you know, working with someone like me, a practitioner that can really help support and help you understand your body, what's causing it. Is it cortisol imbalance? You know, is it because you're so stressed throughout the day? Now your cortisol is still really high at night. Mm-hmm. Well, the circadian rhythm and that balance between cortisol and melatonin, that's how we wake up and that's how we fall asleep. So cortisol spikes in the morning, wakes you up. It's kind of your energy, get up and go. And of course, melatonin is dropping. Mm-hmm. And at night, cortisol is dropping and melatonin is rising. And when that melatonin rises, you start to get sleepy. And that's a natural ebb and flow of sort that happens in the body or should. You know, so has that become dysfunctional? Is it an issue with glucose regulation? So often that's an underlying cause of insomnia or sleep, you know, disturbances, and then liver health. So if you constantly are waking up at that 2 to 3 a.m. mark every day, you know, like you can't go back to sleep, we see that linked to some liver dysfunction. Right. So really just understanding your body, you know, what are some of those barriers and set yourself up for success. Consistent bedtime is so important. That plays directly into that circadian balance, that ebb and that flow. If you're going to bed 10 and then 12 and then 9 and then 2, your body's like, what the heck is happening? I don't know when to drop the cortisol and when to release the melatonin. She's going to bed at this time, this day. So that consistency helps your body really get in that ebb and flow. Yeah. And, you know, a great sleep environment, right? Comfy bed, good temperature, dark, maybe you need some noise in the background, but just really like set yourself up for success there and minimizing blue light. We do see so much research on that now, right? Is this overexposure, phones, computers, TVs at night impacts that melatonin release.
Right.
So blue light, if you're going to be a night, if you know, if you're that person, you got to work late or you're going to be on your phone, those blue blocker glasses have been proven to help support so that you're not interrupting that cortisol melatonin.
Because if you're staring at your phone late at night, you're essentially tricking your body that it's kind of daytime. Isn't that the idea? Or it's just kind of like confused and not really sure what's going on there.
Yeah, exactly.
What I'd love to know is, so I know sleep is so important, and I'd love to know if you do this as well or don't do this. Monday to Friday, I'm pretty good at going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time because I know the need for consistency is super important. Mm-hmm. But then Friday night, Saturday night comes and you sort of want to treat yourself a bit. I don't know. So I'll end up staying up maybe like 1 to 2 to 3 hours later on Friday and then wake up a little bit later on Saturday, and the same for Sunday. Then, you know, obviously Monday mornings, I don't feel the most optimal. So is it super important to keep that schedule 7 days a week, or can you sort of shift it a little over the weekend? But as long as you're getting the same amount of sleep, you should be okay.
Well, that's a good question. It's actually optimal for you to keep it the same within 30 minutes. So studies show with, you know, within about 30 minutes is ideal. And I think what the goal of this and the goal of this life is, one, we want to enjoy it. I mean, no one wants to live a life where they look back and they're like, well, that wasn't fun. And I didn't enjoy it. You know, we want to live this life where we have experiences that may not align with optimal health. And so that's just like me. You know, I really enjoy a glass of wine occasionally, or maybe a steak occasionally. You know, so there are certain things that I know I do that aren't optimal.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it. And so I think it's the same concept. It's really going back to, what are your goals? What are your health goals? What are you struggling with? For me, I had terrible insomnia. Mm. You know, when I talked about my health journey and how this all started, I have done anything for sleep. And so for me on the journey and really learning how to heal and be more holistic with the process, I knew that even though I wanted to stay up, I knew it meant honoring that commitment. You know, even if that was, you know, I do some Bible studies and some girls' nights and different things like that. And, you know, I would be having great conversations with my girls and really just connected. And, but I had to honor it and had to go, guys, I gotta cut it short. I know it's so important that I get in bed because, and once you find that groove, if you haven't slept for a long time really well, and then you start sleeping well, you're like, I'm doing it because this feels so good to sleep. I don't want to mess it up. Really looking at the whole person. I mean, if you're not struggling with insomnia and you can, and your body's has a more resilient kind of window of sort, and you're able to roll with sleeping a little bit late one night and maybe sleeping in the next day, and your body bounces back pretty well, then, and I don't think it's as important for you to adhere strictly, but I think some people are really in a dysfunctional place. And when you're trying to really recreate this balance in sleep, it takes consistency. It really does. So
yeah, I love
not
that.
A popular answer probably, but
no, it's good. And you know, I know it's needed, and, but I like how you said, you know, sometimes you have to give yourself permission to like cheat or not do it. Cause you know, sometimes people invite me to like a Saturday function. It'll be at 9 PM and I'm like, oh my God, I go to bed at 10 PM most nights. So in an hour I'll be falling asleep. But you know, if you do that once in a while, I'm sure you can get some natural energy from it. But if you're doing that every weekend and staying up much, much later than your normal bedtime, then you're probably going to feel that, you know, the next day or on Monday. So that's very helpful. Lucky I don't have too much of a social life, so I'm not getting a million invites on the weekends. So anyway, in one of your Instagram posts, the title image says, "Coffee drinkers, this is for you." And I was afraid to click on it because I was like, no, I don't want to hear this because I love my morning coffee. So this question's for me and for everyone else's benefit. What is the verdict? Is coffee good or you should not be drinking coffee at all?
So coffee is not bad. Coffee is absolutely not bad. And I think there are some health benefits too, you know, so we can't ignore that. Mm-hmm. My purpose in that post and in the content that I shared there was really to help people understand how caffeine works and mm-hmm. some of those physiological processes that happen. Caffeine is a stimulant. So the job of caffeine is to give energy, right? And so what it does, though, it's like pushing the gas pedal on mm-hmm. the car. And I'll talk about, go back to my car analogy. But when you drink the coffee, caffeine gets in the body, pushes the gas. So now you feel energy. Mm-hmm. The problem is if the tank is empty. Mm-hmm. So think about if you're driving your car and I mean, you're just hammering on the gas, but there's no gas in the tank. Mm-hmm. Your engine is, man, it's mad, right? There is some major function happening. And I think that is what I see with a lot of women. No gas in the tank, meaning deficient, depleted, you know, when I'm talking about nutrients, everything's low because their diet hasn't been great. Maybe their digestive function is imbalanced of sort. They're not absorbing things well. And they're constantly pushing the gas. Mm-hmm. So much stress in the body. That is stress. Now the adrenal's involved, right? And so even when you just have caffeine, that kind of squeezes the adrenal a little bit. And so now you've got the cortisol release that can do a million different things that can impact blood sugar being one of them. So I think it's just really understanding what caffeine does to the body. Mm-hmm. Where are you in your health? You know, if you are more depleted, then it's probably not the best idea to do a lot of caffeine, whether that be coffee or energy drink, soda, I mean, whatever your caffeine source is. And one tip I'll say is, you know, if you are going to drink the coffee, then it's actually good to drink it alongside food. And so coffee on an empty stomach actually creates extra stress on the adrenal by means of cortisol and the secondary impact on blood sugar. So I usually tell my clients that, you know, if the morning coffee routine is for you, I'm not here to say, you know, that you can't do it, but let's think through how can we let you enjoy this cup of coffee that you really like. Mm-hmm. How can we do it in a way that doesn't create stress and turmoil in your body? So if you're going to drink coffee, eating with it, maybe that means some collagen in your coffee. So there's some protein. Some people do MCT oil for some fat. Maybe it's just eating, going ahead and making the eggs or you know, whatever you're going to have for breakfast and going ahead and eating with it. Maybe it's switching over to decaf coffee. So if with my work with my client, I determine adrenal fatigue picture, major dysfunction in cortisol, then I'm going to really recommend, hey, we got to back off the caffeine because you are pushing the gas and there is nothing in the tank. So maybe it's just the experience of that morning warm cup of the coffee flavor that person can still enjoy, but now we just remove the caffeine from it, which really helps support the body. So those are some of the things I shared in that post. But, you know, caffeine can deplete minerals. It can cause dehydration. So some of my women that are already stressed out, caffeine depletes magnesium. I know we kind of mentioned earlier with stress. So you just have to be careful about some of those pieces.
Okay, that's wonderful to know. So coffee's not the devil, but you don't want to use that as a health aid if you're feeling depleted and tired and run down. That's not what you're going to want to be drinking to feel better all the time.
And I think that's a good point. Yeah, I dropped a post just yesterday so we could, you know, reference that this one. But I'm just hoping you understand, like, if you need the cup of coffee to wake up, let's dig into why. What's happening in your body that's creating this low level of energy?
Right, right.
And so, you know, for my moms that overall feel great and they're just, maybe they have an infant, maybe their kid woke up that night before. Okay. Yeah. You know, have the cup of coffee. You need a little energy. There was like a short-term interruption of sort, but if it's every day, you can't wake up, like you're zombie-ish out of bed. And that's probably a signal that your cortisol is not where we want it.
Okay. So I want to ask you about, you're featured in the book Story, Creating the Functional Medicine Revolution. And just to let our audience know, there's a book about creating functional medicine revolution that offers a raw and honest view into the lives of 15 healthcare professionals who are choosing to step out of practicing conventional medicine in order to create purpose-filled life where whole life balance is possible. So I was wondering if you could share your little bit of your contribution as one of the 15 doctors to this book, and why is this an important book for people to read?
It's a really raw and real view of, like you mentioned, traditionally trained healthcare professionals that saw a need, a gap, and made the choice to kind of be that change that that was needed and do something different to support people's health. And I've shared a lot of what I wrote in the book here. Mine was pretty vulnerable to really expose some of the ways that I've changed and I've grown on my journey. Yes, in regards to physical health, but also the emotional, spiritual, mental health piece as well. Mm-hmm. And being able to kind of let go of some of those mindsets and practices that weren't serving me anymore, like people pleasing, right? Like this high achiever, I don't care what happens, I'm going to, you know, meet the goal. I'm going to get the credentials. I'm going to, you know, it was a very unhealthy side of being driven. And so just awareness around where I was in life and really understanding where I wanted to be in life, goals, and seeing the misalignment of sort and learning along the way to be able to make those changes. And again, most of it is really about health and kind of the stories that I shared previously. Mm-hmm. But the book itself, I think anyone who is on the practitioner side and just wants to kind of learn more about how people are shifting and the different ways that we are supporting clients, kind of on some of us still on each side of the practice model. Some have totally shifted out and strictly holistic practice now. But it's a really interesting book about real people, real journeys. And I think it's neat to see, although our stories are all totally different, there's so much parallel to the foundation of this story. There are gaps in healthcare. And if you are a healthcare provider, you see it. Yeah. And just like you said in the beginning, you know, no longer am I going to just stand by and do nothing. It's like, no, need change. And so here's some ways we're going to start to shift the paradigm and really help support people.
I love that. And definitely, like, storytelling and you telling your story is so helpful to people, because they might see you now, someone who doesn't know you, and be like, wow, Jen's got everything really put together and she's killing it. And she's doing this, that, and the other. And what a high functioning human being. But you're sharing, no, like, I went through a lot of the stuff that you might have gone through or you're going through right now. And it's not due to me just, you know, being born with good genetics. Like, I get good sleep every night. I take my minerals and supplements. Like, you're doing all the things you need to do to perform at this high level. So I think it's important for people to see, you know, that you need to do these things, and you're not, you know, people don't just sort of fluke their way into good things. And as you touched on, some people are going through the same thing and they don't realize that a lot of other people are. And it's in hearing someone else's story, oh my gosh, this resonates with me so much. And it gives them hope, it gives them inspiration, and it gives them a bit of a path of how they can get better. So just want to thank you for sharing in the book and also sharing with us here today. That's very generous and inspiring.
Right.
Changing topics. So myself, I'm a sauna addict. I'm half Finnish, so I was exposed to the sauna at a very young age, and I just love saunas. And I noticed on your site that there's a sauna blanket that people can purchase. I've never heard of a sauna blanket, and this sounds pretty cool to me. Do you want to describe sort of how the sauna blanket works? And if I don't have a traditional sauna around, is a sauna blanket a really good alternative to get the same benefits?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And that's why I chose the blanket at the time. So sauna is so many health benefits. The main one is detoxification. Mm-hmm. Really helping to support the detox. That, yes, happens naturally in the body, but for so many of us, those pathways become blocked by several of the things we've already talked about. But, you know, just even with the toxin exposure, that is natural in the world, mm-hmm. just day-to-day living. So really supporting that helps with relaxation. It actually helps balance the nervous system, believe it or not. There's some research to show sauna use will help balance that autonomic nervous system. So that kind of baseline operating system it is. Helps with inflammation. So it helps reduce inflammation. So circulation, again, the list go on and on and on. And I'm a huge advocate for use. It's difficult for many of us, one, to financially purchase a full sauna.
Yeah.
And space-wise. You know, it takes up a lot of space. So mm-hmm. I found that I was struggling with both of those limitations at the time in my journey. So the blanket was a good option. It's just a flat bag of sort, and it Velcros down one side. So it's almost like a sleeping bag. That's mm-hmm. the image that I would share. So think of a sleeping bag, Velcros down one side. So you open it up. And then, of course, you lie in it just like a sleeping bag. So you kind of pull it up. You're covered all the way down to your toes. You're in this little cocoon of sort. It heats up. And, you know, you get the same benefits of sauna. You can turn it up as high as you want, depending on where you are in your detox journey. You know, if you're really wanting to sweat it out and your pathways are open and you've got some toxins to clear, you can turn it up higher. And then for me, what I used it for a lot was just, you know, keeping it on a lower setting just to really help relax my body. I was struggling with this overactivated nervous system, and I needed it to just help kind of almost like calm me down, give me some zen of sort. And so I would just use the low setting for that. But I highly recommend it. I think it's a great tool. Sauna has amazing health benefits. And so you know, consider the blanket or the bag if you have some of those restrictions, like I mentioned.
That's amazing. And so did you say you just lie down on the floor, just put it down on your floor, hop in like naked or in your bathing suit or whatever you want. And then you come out and you have a nice little sweat going on and you can shower off after. And that's how it works, essentially.
I have like a little, almost like a onesie suit. So it's mm-hmm. actually sleeved and all the way down. And then I wear socks. So I'm actually pretty covered as far as touch points.
Okay.
I find that to be most comfortable for me. There's a towel that stays on the backside. So if you lie flat on, you can lie on your back or your stomach, but if you are lying, you know, kind of on your backside, the towel will be down your back. So that can catch any sweat that drips down. But yeah, so you get out, you take your towel out, of course, clean that. And because I wear the sleeves, I don't have a lot of sweat that builds up because it kept on my clothing.
Oh, wonderful.
That's a good way to use it, just to minimize that constant cleanup that would be needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, part of the thing I love with sauna is going into sauna with someone and making it a shared experience. Is there room for two or no? It's an individual sauna.
Individual. Yeah. One at a time.
One at a time. Okay.
Each get your bag and lie together. But I use it on the floor. I mean, you could put it on a bed. They do say you could put it on a mattress of sort.
Safe to do. Wonderful. I got to get one of those for sure. Okay, so we're coming towards the end of our interview. Thank you so much for your time today, Dr. Jen. So I want to talk about, you have a She Thrives community on Facebook. Who should join that community? And if they do, what can they expect?
It is open for all women. I mean, I focus on women's health there. So I'm not trying to be, I hate to say, you know, men aren't welcome. But I don't want to be exclusive, but I just really focus on women's health. And so it's for anybody who wants to learn more about all things women's health. I try to provide things in there that I don't on my other channels, which are free and accessible to all. So challenges and maybe recipes, different things in there. But it's just a supportive place. I found that community is really helpful on a wellness journey. Many people enter, like you mentioned earlier, you know, maybe you're feeling a little bit isolated, or you don't have proximity wise, you don't have a community that you can meet with. And so I think it's just a good place to create content and education, but also that place of it's safe here. You know, you can come, questions, share your story, challenges, you know, whatever you have, you can bring it there.
I love that. It sounds wonderful. And we'll link that in the show notes for sure for anyone who wants to join. Okay. So as we sort of come to the end now, can you share a tool, a strategy, or something with the audience that might be able to help them in their everyday lives? One thing you can leave us with?
Yes. So I thought about this because I really wanted to be able to add some value here.
Well, we already have a lot, by the way, but oh, go ahead.
So what I was thinking of is know your body, grow your resilience. And I think, again, there's so much heaviness that comes along with doing more. You know, so you think, I'm going to go on this wellness journey. I want to feel better. I want to look better. It's going to be so much, though. Maybe I don't have capacity in my schedule now. Maybe life is really stressful and difficult. Maybe your child is sick, or you're taking care of a parent, or you're struggling with your marriage. So like, there's just so many things in life that I think create barriers for people to take control of their well-being. And so I say, you know, to that point, there's so much we can do by just knowing, by just awareness, understanding, intention and attention to the body again, right? Like we talked about earlier, just like really allowing yourself to connect to yourself, the soul part of you. Slow down, say no more. I say it's November, November. You know, don't feel like you have to take it on and more and more and more. It's like sometimes your body just needs less. And that's right. The key for healing, you know, for some people is less. And so really knowing your body, grow in that resilience. So the more you understand where you are, what you need, so connecting back to self, coming back into your body, being present, then that's going to help you grow that part of you that expand that window of tolerance of sore, you know, allow you to handle more of the ups and downs that will come with life. Because it's, you know, just because you enter the journey of well-being or this wellness journey, you never attain the destination. You never get there. It's a choice every single day of just showing up and being intentional with the person you're bringing to the table that day. You know, every choice, you know, it's you right there. And just being intentional with those choices and how you're going to show up. And so if that is, you know, doing some things like we talked about, some of those simple nervous system techniques, humming. The other thing I'll share is really just being present. So the purpose of your nervous system is to keep you safe. That's the wiring of the nervous system is safety. Mm-hmm. So it's created in a way that it's looking for danger of sort. It's okay, what is she feeling? What is she thinking? What's in her environment? And so being able to ground into safety and let your body know, hey, I'm good. I'm good right now. There's nothing around me that is threatening me. And that is as simple as what I mentioned earlier, being present, looking around, looking with detail, finding something that you can really start to, oh, that's a pink curtain and it has a little bit of texture. Maybe touch it, you know? Oh, it feels kind of rough. Oh, what do I smell? I smell that candle. I love that candle. It's one of my favorite candles. You're just really digging into your senses, because what you're doing now, you're present. You've turned off the part of the brain that signals alarm. So your prefrontal cortex now, you're back here in this logical place that says, hey, she is safe. Mm-hmm. She is safe. That thought, she was thinking about that job. She's going to lose her job. It wasn't even real. She's actually safe. She's in her office and she's in front of that curtain and she's smelling that candle. She's safe. And that's just enough to calm the body down. Yeah. And I think we think that we have to live this life where we never have those thoughts and we never have stress. It's not true. It's expanding that window of tolerance and that resiliency so you can move up and down. So as you experience the stressor, oh, I have a flat tire. Dang it, I'm going to be late for work. Oh, this is terrible. I'm so frustrated. And then utilizing one of your tools to come back down to be mm-hmm. able to 30 minutes to an hour later, you're fine. You're yeah. no longer activated. You're no longer stressed out. And so I think that's kind of what it's all about. So just really empowering yourself, you know, on the journey. Like we mentioned, find those people who are like-minded, who align with you, who can support your goals, help propel you forward where you want to go.
Oh, that's wonderful. So many good things in there. I'll just leave it at saying that's unbelievable and very helpful. So I just want to know before we end, what are you offering these days and how can people find you and be in touch with you?
My heart is to help people. That's truly why I am here in this space of podcast and social media and website. I mean, that's, you know, I just really want to help. So I'm active on Instagram, Dr. Jim Bourgeois, and I have a website, same, www.drjimbourgeois.com. And you can always connect with me in both of those places, always offering new things. I think as I continue to serve people, I learn more about the needs and some of the ways that I can give back and help through education and health optimization. And so I just continue to lean into that piece, really seeing a need for nervous system regulation work, more people kind of understanding that operating system that is in the body. So I have some courses coming out around that. Always open to work one-on-one to help support, again, that health optimization for women. But really just love to connect. I'm a networker. I love people. I love meeting people. Very extroverted. So I'm happy to connect in Messenger and start a conversation just about who you are and any questions you have. I'm always open to answer those.
Okay. Well, Dr. Jen, thank you again so much for your time. I learned a lot and I'm sure our audience will have as well. And we'll put all your information in the show notes for anyone who wants to connect with Dr. Jen. And just thank you again so much for taking the time today.
You are so welcome. Thank you for inviting me here. It's been a real pleasure.
And for our listeners and viewers, good luck on your healing journey, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.